Morning. Today's Daf and Shabbos, Samech Zayin. We're starting this morning on the very bottom of Samech Vav Amud Beis, and we're continuing our discussion regarding various therapies that were effective. And the Gemara over here gave us clear instructions in terms of how to use these types of remedies. Remedies that to us seem a little bit strange, somewhat foreign. Obviously, they have been in disuse for many years in terms of normative medical practice. But nevertheless, the Gemara gives it a full treatment and discusses at length. If you were particularly interested in yesterday's daf, so today's daf, you have a lot to look forward to because today's daf, a lot more of the same. How did we, Gemara, get onto this discussion? So now as we conclude today, the sixth parak of the Masechta. So we have been discussing for the good part of this parak. It's been a particularly long parak in terms of Shabbos, 11 blad of Gemara. So it has been discussing the various articles of clothing, jewelry, and other types of accessories that men and women are not allowed to wear into Rishos HaRabim. Not because you're not allowed to wear clothing or jewelry, you are, but because the Chachamim made gzera on certain pieces of jewelry and other accessories for various concerns. I always reference since the beginning of the parak, I've been referencing the Tosos in the beginning of the parak, which I think is really fundamental to the entire parak, in terms of what are some of the particular concerns that the Chachamim had regarding some of these items. Tosos puts into three different categories of three different concerns the Chachamim had. And so what we've been doing since the beginning of the parak is we've been going over all these articles. The last mission that we did on Samech Vav Amud Beis, dealt with kisharim. It dealt with these knots. As we learned in the Gemara, what these knots were really some sort of root, some sort of herb that was knotted and hung around the neck of a child. Now, what its effect was? Why was it done? So yesterday we saw a couple of explanations that were given in the Gemara. One is that it resolved a certain ailment or illness. The Gemara gave a second shot. It seems like the Gemara preferred the second shot, and that is that it was particular therapy for a young son who had anxiety because he was not always connected. He had a particular attachment to his father, and he was not always with his father, and so it soothed his anxiety. So this obviously to us seems a little bit strange in terms of a therapy, but it worked. And the question was, can a child go out with it on Shabbos? And the Mishnah said, yes, a child can go out with such a therapy on Shabbos. And then the Mishnah also mentioned bells, which actually we're going to get back to in just for a moment. We're going to touch on it in a moment later in today's daf. But as long as we were talking about the therapy of the knots, so the Gemara then launched into a discussion regarding other therapies. And with that stated, we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday, as we now explore other therapies as well. Amar Rav Huna. We are on the very bottom of the Samech Vav Amud Beis. We're now moving right to the top, the Samech Zayin Amud Aleph. Le'ishta Tilsa. Let's say the fever comes. It comes about every 3 days. So, Laisi Shiva Silva Mishiva Dikle. So, what are you going to do? So, you start with the following ingredients. 7 small branches from dates, from the palm dates. Vishiva Siva Mishiva Kishure. And you'll take 7 splinters from seven larger wooden beams. You're going to be taking 7 pegs from 7 different bridges. And you're going to take 7 clumps of dirt from sinrei. Sinrei seems to be a socket, a door socket. And you're going to be taking 7 pitches from 7 different boats. And you're going to be taking 7 pieces of what seems to be the spice cumin. And you're going to be taking 7 hairs from kalbasaba. Kalbasaba is an older dog, or 7 older dogs. And then what you're going to do is you're going to tie these items right by the neck of the person, and you'll tie it with a strand of hair. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Le'ishta Tzimirta. Ishta Tzemirta now is another kind of fever. So we have been, since yesterday, discussing daily fevers. We just discussed a fever that recurs every 3 days. And now the Gemara is going to be describing Ishta Tzemirta. Rashi describes over here this Ishta Tzemirta, this type of fever, is choli shemechamemes v'kodcha esagof. So it's burning up the entire body. I mean, that's generally speaking what fevers do, but I guess this is particularly intense. So what do you do? So once again, the Gemara gives a therapy that worked in the day. Lishkal sakina dekule parzala. You take a knife that's made out of iron, veleza lahecha deika vardina, and go to a place where there's verid. Verid typically translates as roses. Over here, the impression, it could be roses over here, just not sure. Velikter bay nira barka, and then what you're going to do is tie it up with a strand of hair. Yumakama lichrik be porta velema. So on the first day, you make the following incantation. Vayeram alacha shemelav. These are the psukim that were said regarding Moshe and his experience at the Sne. It happens to be that as part of the therapy. So you went to the thorn bush in order to get it. That's probably, now I'm going back, now I'm just rethinking. That's probably the verit over here. The verit over here, not a rose, but more like a thorn bush. And that's why the Gemara is quoting the psukim regarding Moshe and the sneh. Okay. Anyway, Vayera Malach Hashem Alav, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him. Limchar Lichrik Bei Porta Velema. So next day, what you're going to do is you're going to tie up the bush a little bit more. You're going to tie the knot a little bit more. And then you're going to say the next pasuk, Vayomer Moshe, Asura na ve'er'eh. And then Lamacha, and the next day, Lichruk be'porta v'leima. Then you're going to do is you're going to tie it again, one more time, the Vayar Hashem. And the pasuk you're going to say is Vayar Hashem Kisar Leros. And so, the burning bush, so to say, the psukim regarding the burning bush, are going to mitigate, are going to counteract the effects of the burning fever that you have. That's the basic idea. Obviously, more than that, I cannot explain. Now, in terms of the psukim that you're using over here, so there happens to be, Rav Acha says to Rav Ashi that you kind of missed one of the most significant psukim in that parsha that really, if anything, is going to mitigate the effects of the fever, and that is Al Tikrav Halom. Meaning, obviously, the Gemara is using the pasuk out of context, but in the context of what we're describing over here, it's a perfect pasuk, right? Don't come any closer. So it's as if you're telling the fever, don't come any closer. So you missed a significant part of the pasuk. So the Gemara now is just going to reset the psukim that you're going to say on the 3-day therapy. Alleluia, kamalema. On the first day, you say Vayar Malach Hashem Elav. Vayomer Moshe, and you continue and you go on to the next pasuk of Vayomer Moshe, and then Lamachar Leh, and then the second day you say Vayomer Hashem, Vayar Hashem Kisar Leros, and then Lamachar, and the next day Vayomer Al Tikrav Halom. So these are now going to be the psukim that you're going to say on the 3-day therapy. Vichi pasuk Leh, and now finally when the fever actually stops, Lisev Lifsegev Leh Mahachi. So what you're going to do now is you're going to break the bush from its source. And here is the incantation that you say. Hasna, hasna, you're referring to the thorn bush. Lav mishum digviya mikol ilana yishrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu shchinta aleich. It's not because you were higher than other bushes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took his shchina and put it on you. Ela mishum demachem mikol ilana yishrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu shchinta aleich. It's rather because you were lower than all the other bushes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his shchina on you. By the way, a recurring theme that we're all familiar with. The idea that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu has a Shras HaShchina, so in order to teach humility and anava, so a Kadosh Baruch Hu goes on things that are not on the high point, but things that are slightly lower. We saw it by Mamad Har Sinai. We hear the Gemara explores this idea by the Sne. So it's an idea that we're familiar with. V'chi hecha dechamita ishte lechanyen mishav v'azarya. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the fire away from Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah when they were thrown into the Kivshan HaEsh, Ve'arika min Kadmoi, and the fire ran away from them, meaning from Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Cain, Techameni Ishtem, Liploni Bar Ploni, V'tarik min Kadmoi. So too should the fire not take a hold of Ploni Bar Ploni, it's a self-reference, and it should run away from that individual. So the Gemara now just gave us the therapy that was prevalent at the time in order to deal with a particularly intense type of fever. Gemara continues, listema le mahachi. Now, if it is a listema seems to be some sort of abscess. Could be a boil. Right? Rashi here describes it as a shchin, as some sort of boil. So here is what you're going to do. You're going to say the following. And this is an incantation. Baz bazya, mas masya, kas kasya, shirlai v'ammarlai. Now, these are various malachim that he is going to employ. Rashi over here, that Rashi is on a later point in the discussion. Okay, let's just leave it at that. Alei malachi di ishtalchu me'arad d'stom la'asa shchina ki'ivin. And these are the angels that were sent from Sdom in order to deal with various boils. Rashi over here writes that they come from the land of stone. Kachu halachash v'lomi Sdom ba'u. Rashi over here interestingly says they didn't really come from stone. That's just simply how the incantation goes. In other words, they had certain proven incantations that worked, even though the incantation may not be perfectly accurate. Bazach bazich be bazich mesich kamon kamich. And these are just simply words that are involved in the incantation. Enechbech, enechbech. Now, he's actually making reference to the boil itself. And he's saying that stay as you are. Meaning, don't start growing. Asrich bach, your place should be there. Meaning, you shouldn't grow anymore. Zarech kalut kapir davlo paravlo ravya. Your seed should be kalut. Kalut literally means the hooves are sealed together, right? The Torah describing an animal that's not kosher. So it says that the hoof is kalut. It's not split. So basically, what he's asking the boil to do is now to reduce. He describes the boil like a parrot, like a mule. Just like a mule is sterile and is not able to grow and multiply. So he says regarding the boil, it should not grow and multiply. Kach lotifra velotirba begufei deploni bar plonis. So to you, the boil should not grow on the body. Again, it's a self-reference. Lekiva lemele. Now the Gemara over here is describing some other type of abscess. This is probably something like a blister. So cherv shlufa vekelen tusha. So this is an incantation. So cherv shlufa, you take a sword out of its sheath. Vikela nitusha, and some sort of slingshot. Lo shmei yuchav chulim mikovin. The name is not yuchav, and chulim mikovim. It's a very painful illness, and this is the end of the incantation, and that will alleviate. That will relieve the blister. Another incantation. Lashida lemalei. Let's say a person is particularly bothered by a particular shade, a demon, and so what you do is you say the following: Chavis apaki tapaki chavis. So this is an incantation. And the incantation reads that you were stopped up. Lita tavur umishumas bartit bar tame bartina mishgaz mirigaz v'istame. So these are all words relating to the way he is going to try to curse the demon. So lita from the word lita, we say that word coming up in the Gemara all the time, that's a curse. Tavur from the word shavur, which is broken. Mishumat from the word with that's from Shamta, that's excommunication. Bartit, Bartame, Bartina, all relating to words of dirt. Shamgaz, Marigaz, Istamai, those are names of various demons that were common and prevalent at the time. Lashita de Besakisa Lemahachi. Now, if it is a demon that affected you in the bathroom, and we discussed that Tamid Chachamim were sensitive, were very assaulted by these particular types of demons. We saw that back in Brachos. So l'shita de beis akisa lemahachi. So you should say the following: akarkafei de are. This is the incantation. Go on the head of a lion. V'asui de guriyasa, and within the nostril of a lion. Ashkechan l'shita bar shrika panda. So should be the demon, and he actually names it bar shrika panda. Be'meisho de karte chavte. On the field of leeks. And belua de chamer chartete, and with the jawbone of a donkey, I hit him. Okay, that's the incantation regarding the demon at the bathroom. Ad kan, we are going to, for just a moment, end with the incantations. Obviously, to us, It is. It seems strange. It seems a little bit foreign that these incantations had any type of therapy whatsoever. But we'll state the obvious. Obviously, if the Gemara is dedicating precious real estate to this topic, it must be that in the time of the Tanaim and the Amoraim, obviously they had effect. And we also have to add that they had a positive effect, because if they didn't have a positive effect, and we'll see this in the Amud Beis of today's Daf, so then not only is it silly and foolish for a person to practice in this in these kinds of behaviors, but it's going to be an Isser as well. What the Isser is, we will talk about in the second half of today's Daf. In the meantime, however, we're continuing in the Gemara. We're at the two dots immediately prior to the Mishnah on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Gemara right now is going to be discussing the Bnei Malachim B'Zagin. The Mishnah told us that princes are allowed to go out with bells on their clothing. In other words, to accentuate, to accessorize their clothing, so they would have bells hanging on the bottom. These bells did not make sounds. If they produced a sound, so that obviously presents a problem on Shabbos of being Mashmiya Kol. One is not allowed to produce sounds on Shabbos, musical sounds on Shabbos. So let us suggest that these bells over here were stuffed up, or they just simply didn't have a clapper, and so therefore they didn't produce any type of sound. And so what the issue could possibly be, so we didn't see in the Mishnah, the Mishnah just simply says that the princes are allowed to go out with it. And then the Mishnah also pointed out, and it's not just the princes who are allowed to go out with it, but everyone's allowed to go out with it. And it's just that the Mishnah was describing what was the common mode of dress. Since the princes typically go out with these bells, so that's why the Mishnah describes princes, but Dibru HaChachamim Behovet. The Chachamim were just speaking in terms of what was current mode of dress at their time. Gemara's question over here is very simple. Mantana, who is the author of our Mishnah? Now, our author of our Mishnah, meaning what is our Mishnah extending, not only an allowance for princes to go out with these bells, but even people who are not princesses, you and I. So you and I can go out on Shabbos with clothing adorned with bells. Not that, at least for myself, I am particularly interested, but at least the Mishnah gives an allowance for somebody to do that. So I'm Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Shimon, he. So as far as who the author of our Mishnah is, Rabbi Yoshia posits that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. Damar Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim heim. So all of the Jewish people are in fact Malachim. Now this position of Rabbi Shimon is going to be coming up later in the Masechta. Later in the Masechta we're going to be discussing Kuf Yud Aleph. So we're going to be discussing various types of treatments and luxuries that were only used by princes. And the question is, can everybody engage in that kind of activity? And Rabbi Shimon clearly is of the opinion that as far as the Jewish people are concerned, they can halachically be viewed as B'nai Malachim. And so therefore, the allowance will extend. And our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yoshia, is going in that same thought, that all of Klal Yisrael are B'nai Malachim. And as a result of that, even though the common practice is only for princes to wear bells, but if somebody else wants to wear bells on Shabbos, he may do so. Rava Amar, now Rava says, no, not necessarily. You could say that our Mishnah is in fact not going like Rabbi Shimon, and still our Mishnah gives an allowance for everyone to wear bells. Be'arig b'ksuso. The Mishnah could be talking about a very particular case in that, where the bells are actually woven into your clothing. Divrei Hakol, and then our Mishnah would be going like everybody. Because once it's woven into the clothing, so then whatever concern there may be is no longer going to be present, and it will be mitigated by the fact that it's actually woven into your clothing. What is the concern? So interestingly, the Gemara never says. The Gemara never tells us what exactly is the issue, what's the concern regarding having bells adorned and accessorizing your clothing. Look at the Rashi over here, Rashi right before the Mishnah. So he writes really succinctly, Delo shalif lei umachvei. Rashi says that what a person may be tempted to do is to remove the bell in order to show it off to a friend. Meaning this is where we started with the perek. This was one, I would say, the primary concern the Chachamim had regarding various jewelries that were worn by women, and that they are so excited about it, they're going to show it off to a friend. So Rashi says over here, this is what the concern could possibly be regarding the bells. And once they are woven into the garment, so then you just simply can't take it off the clothing. It's not detachable. Tosfos over here also discusses exactly what the concern is. So if you take a look at the end of the Tosfos, so not like Rashi, but he offers a second explanation in terms of what the concern is. You see Tosfos towards the end, V'yeshlamer di'ilah b'nei malachim havu. So Tosfos says, let's say you're not a prince, and this is something that for you is unusual for you to wear. And then you go out into the street wearing clothing with bells. So then you're going to be the source of ridicule. And because you are right now being the source of ridicule, so then either you or Tosfos describes your father's going to come over, pull the bells off the clothing in order to save yourself some embarrassment, and you may end up carrying a dalamus brishus arabin. So interesting, we have two different explanations amongst the Rishonim, at least on the daf itself, in terms of what would be the concern, why it is that the Chachamim at least consider the fact that bells would be a problem accessorizing your clothing. Rashi says you may show it off. Tosfos says that you may be a source of ridicule and be embarrassed and therefore take it off. Either way, that is a possible consideration. And in terms of now how to understand the Mishnah, giving an allowance for non-princes to go out with these bells on Shabbos. So either you're going to go like Rav Oshia and say that our Mishnah is going like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who says that the Jewish people, all the Jewish people have the status of Bnei Malachim, or Rav's explanation is that it was woven into your garment and therefore there's just simply no way to take it off, and our Mishnah doesn't have to be going like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. We are now in the Mishnah on Samach Zayinim at Aleph. This is the last Mishnah of the Perek. And the Mishnah here also is going to be dealing with wearing certain items, certain materials that are going to be somehow efficacious towards various ailments. Yotze bebeitzas achargol. The Mishnah says that on Shabbos you can go out with the egg of a locust. The egg of a locust had some benefit, had some positive effect, and we are going to see exactly what that was in the Gemara. Uvishen shul, and with the tooth of a fox, of a mismar minatzaluv, or with a nail of a cross. In other words, somebody was hanged or crucified, and the nail that was taken from there, mishum refuah. And once again, they had some sort of effective benefit to it, and so therefore, a person go out with it on Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Meir, shitas Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim osim afachol. Now the chachamim say that you can't even use these items during the week, mishum darchei amori, because this now violates the isser of darchei amori. Now I say the isser of darchei amori. Rashi over here, the only Rashi in the Mishnah writes, the isser is not actually darchei amori, the isser is uvuchu kosem lo selechu. So we are not allowed to copy and pattern ourselves after the non-Jewish world. Meaning if there are various practices and rites, rites, R-I-T-E-S, that are used by the non-Jewish world, which are, we would describe as superstitious, as nonsensical. And we go ahead and we practice that as well. We just mimic and imitate them. So this is a violation of Vechu Kosem Lo Selechu. The Torah says that we're not allowed to follow their practices. If there is some sort of positive benefit that yields from it, which is proven, so then you are allowed, we're allowed to copy, we're allowed to emulate. However, if it's just silly and superstitious, so then we're not allowed to do so. And in doing so, we would be violating the Isser of Vechu Kosem Lo Selechu. Now, it's interesting. You go back to the Mishnah. So certainly we need some explanation between the difference between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Meaning Rabbi Meir says that a person is allowed to wear them on Shabbos. Rabbi Meir obviously is already assuming that the practice in general is okay. And he was just addressing the issue of, can you wear it on Shabbos? And his response was yes. And the Chachamim say, you can't even do it during the week because it's a violation of Vechu Kosem. What exactly is the divide between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? And it could simply be that they're arguing about its effective nature, but again, then they're just simply arguing over the facts, and there's no conceptual explanation of what they're arguing about. So it's not particularly satisfying to say that they're arguing over the facts of whether it works or whether it doesn't work. But right now, in the absence of another explanation, so that right now is all I have to offer. Yotzin bebeitzas achargo. We start with the Gemara. Da avdi l'shilcha. So in terms of the egg of a locust, so the person wore it, and it was good for an earache. Uvishen shoshul da avdi l'shinta. Now, as far as the tooth of a fox, so it was good for various sleep disorders. Dechain laman denayim. So you'll take the tooth off of a live fox, for somebody who has a particularly hard time staying awake, and demisa lamandalonayim, and you'll take the tooth of a dead fox for somebody who has a hard time falling asleep. Uvimismar minatzalov, and we're talking now about the nail of a crucifix, the avde lizirpa, and it was very good in terms of helping a various abscess. Mishum refuah. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Abai v'Rava d'Amrit Avayu. Now, in terms of the Amoraim, so we're going to see now together Abai and Rava, who are going to try to give categories. Meaning the Mishnah didn't give categories. The Mishnah just simply said what is and what is not. Darche Amori. And Abai and Rava are going to now try to categorize and give us a way to organize the information. Called Avash Yesh Bah Mishum Refuah, Ein Bah Mishum Darche Amori. Anything that is going to actually be effective and has proven to have therapeutic value, so is not subject to Darche Amori, meaning even though we actually took the practice and we copied it, we lifted it from the non-Jewish world, but if it's proven to be effective, so then there's no issue whatsoever with Darche Amori. Now, the implication is very clear. Now, before we get to the implication, so I'll share with you a really interesting Rashi. Rashi writes over here, Sheish Bo Mishum Refuah, Shiniris Refuaso, where we can actually see the therapy. Kagon Shtiyas Kos, V'tacht Boshes Maka, like, for example, drinking some sort of potion, or putting a bandage on the wound. And Rashi continues, Brachinan Ha'inbo. Now, the implication where is that if it doesn't have refuah, it is going to therefore be subject to Darche Amori. So Rashi writes, Kigon Lachash She'inikar She'hei Marpei Yesh Bo Mishum Darche Amori Bitmia. And so the implication would be that if it's an incantation, it would be subject to Darche Amori. So Rashi over here is making the division between an action that you do, like drinking a potion, like putting a bandage on, versus just a simple incantation, which would in fact be Darche Amori. Now that Rashi is interesting, but it's also really difficult. Because what have we just been doing this daf and yesterday's daf? We've been going over various incantations. So it is certainly very challenging that Rashi over here is explaining that our Gemara that says that something that would be Darche Amori something is saying something along the lines of an incantation, when clearly the Gemara has been promoting the last 2 days, today and yesterday, has been promoting this idea that various incantations do have a positive effect and therefore can be used. Okay, the Rush over here, I'm not going to go through it inside, but the Rush over here addresses this Rashi and tries to give a response to the question that I just raised. Anyway, we continue in the Gemara. And now we go back to the implication. So Ha'ein Ba Mishum Refuah, so if it doesn't have an obvious therapy, Yesh Ba Mishum Darche Amori, so therefore it's subject to the Isser of Uvechul Kosem Lo Selech Va'atayin, the Gemara quotes the following Braisa. Elon Shemesher Peirosav. Let's say you have a tree where the fruit is dropping off the tree too early. So what do you do? Soker Basikra. So what you do is you paint the tree red. V'tawana ba'avanim. And you put rocks at the roots of this tree. And these are, the Gemara is bothered by the fact that these are practices that are done by the Amori. So Bishlam v'tawana ba'avanim. Now the Gemara says, okay. Now in terms of putting rocks by the base of the tree, kihech delechush chelam. So, excuse me. So that's going to weaken the tree. And I guess the way the Gemara is thinking, I'm not sure, but I think the way the Gemara is thinking is that the reason why the fruit is dropping so quickly is because the tree is too strong, right? There's almost like a, if I can try to give human characteristics, there's almost like an overconfidence level on the tree. So once you took rocks and you put it at the root of the tree and it weakens the tree, so now the tree is not going to feel as strong and therefore hold onto its fruit a little bit longer. Okay, but regardless of what the explanation is, the point is that I understand how that operates, I understand how it works, and so therefore it's not Darche Amori. Elasoka Basikra, but the Gemara says, but painting it red, so my refuah ka'avid. That's superstitious, says the Gemara. That's for sure a violation of Darche Amori. So the Gemara says, Kihech delech zein shivli ba'alei rachme. The Gemara says, no, there is going to be a benefit with painting it red, and that is, people will see it, and then people will daven for it. Now it's interesting, we daven for a lot of things. We daven for people. Davening for trees as well? The answer is yes. Yes. Kidatanya, the Gemara quotes the following brice of a Tamei Tamei Yikra regarding the Mitzara. So he declares himself to be a Tamei. And we say this with this particular brice gets repeated throughout Shas a number of times. Sarah Claudio Tsarol Rabin, that a Mitzara has to inform others about his Saras. Virabim Yivakshu Alav Rachamim. and therefore people are going to daven on his behalf. And so over here, you're going to draw attention to the tree, so people will daven on behalf of the tree. Amar Ravina Kaman Talina Kufsa Bedikla. And the Gemara says that it is our common practice as Ravina, is that we take a bundle of dates and we hang it on a palm tree, ki haitana, and it follows in the brisa that we just learned together. Meaning people will see, people will observe it, people will understand that this particular palm tree needs tefillah, and it will encourage other people to daven on behalf of this particular palm tree. Tini tanaka beperek amarai, kamed Rabbi Chiya bar Ava. So there was an Amora who was teaching over the brisas of Perek Amorai. Perek Amorai is basically a series of brisas dedicated to Chukas Ha'akum, the Darchei Ha'emori. And so we obviously don't have a collection of the brisas in an organized fashion. And so I venture to say that a lot of our Gemara today is drawn from this particular series of brisas. And so, Rabbi Chia was the one who was listening to these brisas, and Rabbi Chia is now going to be commenting on what is acceptable, what's unacceptable, what actually falls under the category of chukas ha'akum, and what is legitimate and beneficial, and proven to be effective. So he says that of the many examples that we're going to give, and for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to be giving many examples of Darche Emori. But of the many examples that are given, he says, but before we start off with what is Darche Emori, I'm just simply going to point out what is not considered Darche Emori. And so he gives now two notable exceptions. Number one, Mishishol Etzem Begrono, one who has a bone stuck in his throat, maybe Me'oso Hamin. So what you're going to do is that you're going to take that bone, Umineach Le Al Kadkadov Le Mahachi, and put it right by your head, and you make the following incantation. Chad chad nachis bala. So one by one, it will go down, it will be swallowed. Bala nachis chad chad. And then just simply take that incantation and reverse it. Ein bo mishum darche amori. And interesting, this is Rabbi Chia's comment, and that's not an Emorite practice. Or, let's say it a little bit differently, it works. It's effective in nature, there is a refuah to it, and therefore it works. Le'idro le'mahachim. Now, if you happen to have a fishbone that's stuck in your throat, so then the incantation goes a little bit differently. Nin'atta kamachat, stuck like a needle. Nin'alta kitris, you are like a shield. Shaya, and he is now instructing, he's informing the bone to go down the throat. So these are the two notable exceptions. Okay, if I could just quip, in the restaurants back in the day, so instead of having pictures of the Heimlich maneuver, so they had the various incantations posted on the restaurants. We turn to the Amud Beis. Now, after having gone over the two notable exceptions, now Rabbi Chiya bar Huna is now going to go over the various practices that are absolutely Darche Amori and are absolutely forbidden to do. In fact, by the way, we're going to see that these practices that we're going to see are going to be not only to us going to seem silly and superstitious, but to the Chachmei Chazal also were silly and superstitious. But on top of that, some of them are going to be so borderline of Avodah Zarah that in a couple of the examples that we're going to be giving, the Gemara says, oh, that's on Darche Amori. You can go further with that. You can actually call that Avodah Zarah. And for the remainder of the Amud and for the remainder of the Perek, so we're going to be giving examples. Ha'omer Gad Gedi. So if a person says Gad Gedi, right, Rashi hit mazal mazli. My luck should be good. The word God means luck. We know this when God was named in Parshas Vayetze. So Rashi over there gives a couple of explanations of what that means. One of the explanations that Rashi gives is that it's a reference to luck. So God gedi v'sanuk li ashki uvishchi. I shouldn't lose it, not during the day, not by night. Yesh mishum darche amori. So okay, so he's basically wishing the stars, wishing on a star. Rabbi Yehuda Amar God Einu Ela Lashon Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that God is actually referenced to Avodah Zarah Shenemar Ha'orchin LaGad Shulchan. Those who set up a table for God. Now got to be careful because we're speaking in English over here, but the word God over here is used in the word Gimel Dalet, meaning not in the English vernacular. So he sets a table for God. And this is not just a MRI practice, according to Rabbi Yehuda. We are now on the, we're not on the border, we're over the border, and this is actually a Avodah Zarah. The Braisa continues. The Braisa is now going to be discussing other practices with which are clearly Darchei Amori. Hu b'shma v'hi b'shma. Husband and wife do the following practice, and that he refers to her by his name, she refers to him by her name. So Yeshba Mishum Darchei Amori. Silly, superstitious, and aside from the name calling, it is Darchei Amori. Dono Dani. My referencing a barrels of wine, Yeshba Mishum Darchei Amori. He is praying that his barrels be improved and better, but he's not davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's using this as an incantation of Dona Dani. Once again, Rabbi Yehuda over here says this went over the line. Not only is this a violation of Avichukasem Lo Selechu, once again, now we're in the territory of Avodah Zarah. Ein Dan El Lashon Avodah Zarah. The word Dan is a reference to Avodah Zarah. Shenemar Hanishmaim Bashma Shomrom VaAmru Chei Elokecha Dan. So Dan is actually a reference to an Avodah Zarah. I'll observe, it's certainly interesting, that of the Shvatim, two of them are named, or the Avodah Zarah is named after, right, because I don't know which ones historically came first, but two of them share the same name as Avodah Zarah. We just learned this morning that Gad and Dan are both also names of Avodah Zarah. Continuing the Gemara, Ha'omer La'o Rev Tzrach. Let's say a person talks to his raven and says to the raven that Tzrach, you should shriek out. Or he turns to a female raven, and he also instructs it to shriek and to turn the tail, and somehow that's going to be for me good luck. Okay, so instead of the lucky rabbit's foot, so we have now the lucky raven. So once again, it violates the issue, the issur of one gives instructions that there's a raven. There's a rooster that is crowing like a raven, and he gives instructions to shecht it. V'tanagol shekara gavris, or there's a hen that happens to crow like a rooster. Yesh b'mishum darchei amori, so that also is now going to be subject to v'chukosem lo selechum. Eshtav osir. If let's say he makes the following incantation, and he says, I'm going to drink, but I'm not going to deplete the cup. In other words, there's still going to be drink in the cup even after I drink it. And he's basically wishing on a miracle. So yesh b'mishum darchei amori. So this also is a superstitious practice. Hamevakas beitzim b'kotel mipnei afrochim. Let's say he breaks eggshells up against the wall where there are these little chicks. And somehow they think that it's going to help the chick. Yesh b'mishum darchei amori. So that also is going to be subject to darchei amori. V'hamegis mipnei afrochim. Let's say you stir a pot right in front of the chicks, and thinking that somehow this is going to help. So this is Darchei Amori, Hamrakedes, if one dances right in front of your chicks. Or let's say the person counts to 71, thinking that somehow that's going to help. Yeshma Mishum Darchei Amori. Hamrakedes leKutach. Let's say, while preparing the Kutach, the woman, while preparing it, is dancing. Not because she's happy, but because she thinks the dancing is going to somehow produce a better kutach. Kutach comes up again and again throughout Shas. It is the Babylonian dip of choice, made up of honey, oil, breadcrumbs. Some spoiled milk goes into it as well. Sounds delicious. The woman is dancing in front of it. V'hamishatekes ladashim, or let's say while making the lentils, so she is quiet. Again, quiet over here, thinking that the silence somehow is going to help. V'hamitzaveches legrisim, or if while making beans, she's shouting, Yesh b'mishum darchei amori. So this is all MRA practices. Let's say the woman urinates while cooking the pot, thinking that somehow that's going to accelerate the cooking process. Yesh b'mishum darchei amori. That's superstitious. What you could do is you could take various splinters or little shards of glass into the pot, and that will accelerate the process. Now, you're probably, everyone here is thinking the same thing that's coming up right now. The Chachamim Osrim, B'shivrei Zechuchos Mipnei HaSakana. The Chachamim say, not a good idea to put shards of glass into a pot, even if it works, even though it may actually accelerate the cooking. But nevertheless, obviously, that poses a sakana. So don't do it. Tan Rabbana Nosnim Bul Shamalach. L'soch HaNer B'shul Shetair V'Sadlik. One can put in a clump of salt into the oil, and somehow that is going to allow the oil to last longer, and the flame will last longer. Also putting clay underneath the candle, underneath the lamp, also is going to somehow extend the light. I'm not really sure how this works. I cannot physically explain it. Nevertheless, it was an effective practice, and obviously it does not file under the category of Darchei Amori. Amar Zutra Haiman de Mischa Shragla Mischa Umagli Natva Ka'avra Mishum Bal Tashkes. A person who covers an oil lamp and reveals the nafta lamp, and basically what you're doing is putting out the flame, or having it burn at a faster rate. So kavra mishum bal tashkes. So basically what you're doing is you are wasting and violating the iser bal tashkes. Chai v'chamer v'chai lefum rabbanan. Ein bo mishum darchei amori. Presumably here we're headed back to the brisas that were said in front of Rav Chiya bar Huna. And if the person says, while pouring the cup of wine, that wine and life should go to the Chachamim, so that is not an Amorite practice. Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva Shasa Mishalev, no. Rabbi Akiva made a chasana for his son. V'akol v'kos v'kos shehevi amar. So every time a cup of wine was brought for him, chamer v'chai l'fum rabbanan. So he would say that wine and life would be for the Chachamim. Chai v'chamer l'fum rabbanan l'fum tamideham. Both for the Chachamim and for the students as well. A practice that is continuing to this very day is L'chaim. You wonder, where does that come from? Now you know. It comes from the end of the sixth parak of the Masechta. Hajalach b'ma'isha, and so concludes the sixth parak of the Masechta. And let's recap our day. The first part of today's daf, we continued with a discussion that we had yesterday regarding various therapies and remedies that were effective in the time of the Gemara. Ways of warding off fevers and supernatural attacks by demons, incantations that were said over. So those were the topics that were discussed yesterday and continued well into today's daf. We dealt with the end of the Mishnah that says that one is allowed to attach bells to their clothing, to accessorize their clothing. And even though this was predominantly done by princes, but nevertheless everyone could do so. We had a debate amongst the Amoraim exactly what our Mishnah is subscribing to. Rabbi Yoshia says that our Mishnah is subscribing to the Shita Rabbi Shimon, that every one of the Jewish people has the status of B'nai Malachim and therefore it's permitted. Whereas Rabbah's of the position that no, our Mishnah is not necessarily subscribing to Rabbi Shimon. It just happens to be that the bells in question over here were woven into the garment, and there's no way to therefore detach the bells from your garment. In terms of what would have been the consideration if the bells were not attached, and they're detachable, what would be the concern? So we saw Rashi and Tosos this morning. Rashi says the issue is you may show it off. Tosos says is that you may be the center of embarrassment, and you're going to try to relieve the embarrassment by taking it off. Either way, you're going to carry it for Amos in a Rishos HaRabim. We then continued with the Mishnah of various practices where we had a debate in the Mishnah whether or not these practices were Darchei Amori, wearing the egg of a locust around your neck, or the tooth of a fox, or the nail that was used in a cross. So these items, are they refuah? Are they not refuah? If they're refuah, that makes it okay. If they are not refuah, it makes it Darchei Amori. And the Mishnah had a debate regarding these particular practices. And then for the remainder of the daf today, we were treated to a number of excerpts from a series of brises called the brises of Darchei Hamori, and questions of whether or not they are Amorite practices or they're effective. We pointed at the bottom of the Amud to two practices which were tried, tested, and proven to be effective in terms of relieving choking from bones or from fish bones. And then for the remainder of today's daf, as we turn to the Amud Beis and we finished off the Perek, we went over a number of practices that do file under the category of Darchei Hamori. And in a couple of instances, it went even beyond Darchei Amori. It went into the camp of Avodah Zarah. And obviously, Avodah Zarah is Yarek Val Yavor, but the Darchei Amori is a law in the Torah. It's a negative prohibition. So to practice these practices that go under the category of Darche Amore is a violation of a Chukos Yom Lo Selecho. Ad Kan, tomorrow we open up with the seventh parak of the Masechta.